You know, I preached the other week, Revelation chapter 11. I preached the other week about worship, and I said this, but I'd like to say it again tonight because I think maybe a lot of people didn't hear it. The purpose of worship is to honor, praise, exalt, and please our God. Our worship must show our adoration to God for His grace. Our worship to God is a very humble and reverent action. You got to take it right. Now listen, our worship isn't to please the worshiper, but the worshiped. And I'm afraid people's got it backwards. Our worship is not to entertain us, but to bring glory and honor to the one we worship. That's what worship's all about. Let's remember that. Revelation chapter 11, last week we talked about the two witnesses and they're getting raptured up and all that. And I'm going to do a little review tonight, but before I do, I wanted to start with verse 15 where we left off. Verse 14, he said, "The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God." Now that's those 24 elders. That's the 12 apostles. They represent the New Testament. And the Old Testament is represented by 12 in the Old Testament. Now, listen to what they did. They fell upon their faces and worshiped God. That's Old and New Testament. That's not an Old Testament doctrine. That's Old and New Testament. The Old Testament's agreeing with the New Testament here. And they fell on their faces and they worshiped God, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast, and art to come." Now you know who that is. That's Jesus. Amen. "And because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants and prophets and to the saints and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in His temple the ark of His testament, and there was lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail." Now, at the end of chapter 11, we got up to that last week. Now here, the seventh angel is sounding. Now I'm going to do some rehearsing so you'll remember, okay? Remember, there were seven angels announced, and there were seven angels sounding, and they started in chapter 8. In chapter 8, hail, fire, blood, one-third of the trees and the grass on planet Earth burn up. And then a mountain of fire came down out of heaven and was cast into the sea. And one-third of the sea creatures were destroyed. And one-third of the ships in the sea was destroyed. So because of that, one-third of the sea became blood. It became blood. And then a star fell and rivers and streams were poisoned. And many died because the rivers and streams were poisoned. And then a third of the sun and the moon and the stars were darkened. So the days were shortened by one-third. Now, then he pronounces three woes. And in chapter 9, a fifth angel sounded, and a star fell from heaven, and a star, with the key to hell and loose demonic locusts. Demonic locusts came up out of hell. And he said, "One woe is past." And those locusts stung men. They had the tails like a scorpion. And men sought death and could not die for 6 months. People sought to die and couldn't die. Boy, that's something, ain't it? And then a third part of man was killed. And in chapter 9, I can't read my own writing. The sixth one came, and Aphrodite's river was dried up. The river Aphrodite's was dried up. And all those hordes from hell came up. It ain't Aphrodite. What's the name of the river? Euphrates. I can't read my own writing, I told y'all. It's Euphrates. And when it dried up, hell opened up, and all those armies from hell, demonic armies, came out. And because of that, they fought. Chapter 10, another angel, seven thunders sounded, but sealed up a mystery of God until everything's finished. When that trumpet sounded, he said, seal it up. And there was a little book given. Remember, he said, take and eat this. It'll be sweet to your mouth, but bitter to your belly, or the other way around. I can't remember. But what it was, Word of God. It was the Word of God. And to the flesh, the Word of God's bitter, but to the soul is sweet. Amen? And so now here we are in chapter 11. In the first part of chapter 11, the temple is being rebuilt. And once the temple's rebuilt, these two witnesses come up. And I said I wouldn't lose fellowship with you, but I said I think it's Elijah and Enoch, since they never died. Some people say it's Moses and Enoch. But I would say since those two never died, they were taken up without dying, and God's brought them back. And they've been in school. They've been in school ever since God took them up. They're going to come back and preach what he told them to preach. And basically, it's going to be the same thing as John the Baptist and Elijah preached. Repent or perish, turn or burn. The kingdom of God is at hand, is what they're going to preach. And we talked about how they're going to be killed. And everybody's going to rejoice because they're killed. And by the way, our world's getting to the point now when Christianity dies, they'll rejoice. Amen? And even in our country, Brother Rick, I see ladies bundling up. Will you knock the thermostat down 1 degree, and you can take him with you? And so here they are, and they've died, and they were preaching on the streets of Jerusalem, because you know most of this is mainly for Israel to come to God anyway, and the rest of the world is just being affected by it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because church is taken out. And I don't think there's not going to be a mass evangelism during that time. Some will be saved, but it's going to be by enduring to the end. Matthew 24 says they're going to have to die for what they believe in order to be saved. And it's not going to be by grace through faith like we're saved. And these two preachers, and they've been killed for preaching. And by the way, they have the power that when they open their mouth, fire will come out and devour the people who attack them. I don't know exactly what that means, but I know this, it says what it means. And if people attack them, they will kill them for attacking them until their job is completed. And when their job's completed, when their calling is concluded and they've done their job, God will allow the beast to attack them and kill them. And they'll lay in the streets there for 3 days and 3 nights, and the world will have a party, and they'll exchange gifts. They'll celebrate it. They'll exchange gifts. And by the way, they'll do the same thing over you one day, too. They'll, boy, I'm glad he's gone, you know. Fanatic. That fanatic, I'm glad he's gone. I'm glad she ain't here no more. She was a thorn in my flesh. She just messed up our job all the time, preaching, giving out gospel tracts. I'm glad they're gone. Amen. And they're going to do the same thing for these guys, except in a worldwide celebration like Christmas. They're going to exchange gifts. That shows you that people really don't think much about Christmas. They'll just probably do it. Wouldn't it be something if they did it on December 25th? But anyway, God's going to rapture them out of here. He's going to raise them from the dead right there. And it said the whole world will see it. The whole world. Now, that couldn't happen in 1816. It couldn't happen in 1716 or 1916, but it can happen in 2016 because we have World Wide Web and worldwide news and instant television, live eye, everything, and the whole world's going to be watching on CNN and MSNBC and Fox and all those channels. They're going to be watching and having a party and toasting to the death of these guys, and all of a sudden there's a trumpet going to sound. We read it. There's a trumpet going to sound. And they're going to stand up on their feet. Those old dead, rotten in bodies been laying there 3 days. And they're going to stand up, Brother Bobby. And then the Bible says God's going to take them up. They're going to be raptured. They're going to be taken out of here. They're going to be like, that's going to be their rapture like our church rapture. The dead in Christ arise, see. And so God's going to take them up. Now, once they get up, that's where we are today. And we in verse 15, then the seventh the angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven. Now, let me tell you something. I'm just going to read a few of these, and it won't take me long. Famous last words. the temple is rebuilt in chapter 11. Now, we see the temple. We see the temple here. If you go down to verse 19, and the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. Now, so Solomon's temple, God gave the directions for Solomon's temple, not Herod's temple, but Solomon's temple. Now, he gave directions for Herod's too, but it wasn't to the grandeur of Solomon's temple. And Solomon's temple, they called it the eighth wonder of the world. And now, so Solomon's temple, they've rebuilt it. It's standing there in Jerusalem in this passage. The temple's been rebuilt. Sacrifices have been reinstated. The Jews are now worshiping in the temple again. They're doing their ceremonies and their sacrifices. The priest is back in his place. The Levites are back in there working. The blood's flowing because they still don't recognize the blood of the Lamb. Because if they'd read the book of Hebrews, they'd know all that wasn't necessary anymore. And so now, God tells us temple's going to be rebuilt. But then he tells us there's still one in heaven. Now, the one on earth is just a copy of the one that's in heaven. See? And so now, in chapter 11, in verse 19, and the temple of God was open in heaven. And there was there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. Now, that's the ark of the covenant. Now, let me tell you something. Brother Bobby, these people come out and say, we found the Ark of the Covenant. These archaeologists, they're always coming out saying that. Nobody can find the Ark of the Covenant. Whenever Israel was dispersed the last time, the Ark of the Covenant got sent away somewhere. I would think that the Romans took it and destroyed it. They did everything else. But whether they did or not, you're not going to find the Ark of the Covenant. You know why? The same reason you don't know where Moses was buried. God. God knew if the Jewish people knew where Moses was buried, they'd go build a temple on top of it and worship Moses. So he didn't let them know. Amen. And God, listen, God did not want the Jews keeping the Ark of the Covenant because he knew that after Jesus came and fulfilled all that that represented, that they still would worship the Ark of the Covenant and they wouldn't worship the Lord Jesus Christ. See, people have a tendency to worship things they can see because it doesn't take any faith at all, you know. How many of y'all ever been in a real Catholic church? How many of you have been in one? I know you have. Full of idolatry. Full of idolatry. And the Greek Orthodox, which is really just a split of the Roman Catholic Church, they don't believe in statues, but they sure believe in pictures. Boy, they got so many pictures and other things they call relics. You know, they got a piece of wood and they got it in a glass box where you can look at it, and they say that's a piece of the cross. And they worship that thing. The Roman Catholic Church has a skull, and they say it's the skull of John the Baptist, and they build a church over it, and you go in there and you worship that skull. And God knows that man will worship. He's going to worship something. Some people say, well, I don't worship anything. I don't believe in anything. Yeah, they do. They're either worshiping money or fame or jobs or positions or power or something, but everybody worshiping something. Amen. Dumb as Bob Dylan is, and he said, everybody's going to serve somebody. You're either going to serve the devil or you're going to serve the Lord. Everybody's going to serve somebody. Amen. Amen. And mankind's looking for things to worship. So God gave them the temple to be rebuilt because he knew the Jew would come back to the temple And he knew that was when the Jew was going to start seeing the light, what the Antichrist really is, and we'll get into that later. And then he'd turn away from the Antichrist, so he'd have to leave that temple. And then God wants us to know that the perfect temple is in heaven. It's not made by men's hands. It's made by God himself. And look, all worship down here is tainted to some extent. All worship's tainted to some extent. We do the best we can, but there's still flesh involved in all our worship. Somewhere, somehow, there's a little bit of flesh involved in it. The old flesh, he'll rear up. And some people, I hesitated, to be honest with you, put this Bible stand here. A man aggravated Brother Tommy until he built it. I hesitated putting it there. And it's not because I'm against the Bible. It's not because I'm against the stand. But the same thing is in the Masonic Lodge. And they got a bright light shining down on it. And they worship the book. They really do. They worship the book. Now, in the Christian Masonic Lodge, they got a King James Bible. They worship the King James Bible. In the Muslim Masonic Lodge, they got a Koran. They worship the Koran. That light shining on it. They call it the greater light. Now, I understand all that. But I was kind of hesitant because I didn't want anybody to think this was something to worship. Church I got saved in, I've told y'all this before. I used to know the old guy's name. He was an Italian, New York Italian. You barely could understand him when he talked. And he would come to Eastside Baptist Church. He never joined, never made a profession of faith. He run a liquor store on Saluda Street. He owned a liquor store. Everybody on Saluda Street knew him. You probably knew him. Didn't you? Yeah, I knew you would. That's before he got saved. And but that old man, he'd come, and whenever we would take up the offering, he could find him a dead spot after the offering while they were still playing music, and he would come down that aisle every time, and he would bow to that Bible, and he would do the humbo mumbo and the humbo mumbo jumbo, and he would kiss that Bible. And he'd get up and go back to his seat. Now, he was worshiping, but it was all flesh because he was worshiping that Bible. Now, that's the Word of God. Don't get me wrong. Hey, next to his Son, that's the most precious thing in the universe because this is the mind of God. But we don't worship that paper. We don't worship that binding. We worship the God that wrote it. And so as much as we try in our temple, we try to worship God and try to do what. But up in heaven, there's going to be a perfect temple. There'll be no flesh involved. Boy, I'll be so glad to get there. No flesh involved. Amen? And so we see that. And I got to hurry. Look at verse 14. In verse 14, he says, chapter 11, he says, "The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe cometh quickly." Skip down, if you will, for the sake of time. Skip down, if you will, to verse 18. "And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged." You ever heard this? Well, don't judge me. Well, I got news for you. There's a bigger judge than me coming. And he will judge. And I get tired of these little pussy-footing Christians that think that God ain't going to judge people. He is. I'll never forget this young lady that grew up with my kids over here. She called me one time, and she said, "I hadn't been in ministry probably about 10 years. She said, would you marry me and my boyfriend?" I said, "I don't know. You ain't hardly going to church. Where does he go to church?" She told me the name of the church. I said, "Does he go every Sunday?" She said, "No, he don't go every Sunday, but he's real religious." I said, "Well, what would make you say that?" She said, "He's got all these religious tattoos on him." I said, "That don't make him religious. That makes him stupid." To go through all that pain. And what she was saying was, he had a cross here, and he had the face of Jesus here, you know, and he's covered with these tattoos. And she said, "Well, you can't judge him." I said, "I don't have to. He put that on himself." Amen. I don't have to judge him. But the point being, people think that as Christians, there's no judgment involved. There is. Now, I can't tell you who's going to heaven or hell. I, I can tell you those that don't trust Christ go to hell. But I can't tell you by their works whether or not they'll go to heaven or hell. But I can tell you this by their works. He said, we'll know them. By their works, we'll know them. And listen to this. As children of God, we are reflections of our Father. Amen? We're reflections of our Father. So every time somebody gets on me about that judge and stuff, I say, well, you don't have to worry about my judging. There's one a whole lot bigger than me coming that's going to judge you. And I'm just trying to help you and warn you before he gets here, he's going to judge you. He'll judge us all. Amen? And then he said, and, look at the second part of that verse, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great. Do you see that? Not only is he a judge, he's a rewarder. He says he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Well, he's also a rewarder of our works. He's going to judge us not to be saved, heaven or hell, but he will judge our works, whether they were righteous or self-righteous or whatever the case may be, that we may be rewarded. Some people think, well, Bobby's saved. You saved. Why are you worried about it? Well, I want a full reward. I want a full reward. Well, you got a mansion in heaven. Yeah, I do. But I want a full reward. You know why? Because I want to be able to lay something at his feet and say, Lord, I don't deserve this. This is you. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't even have it. I'm not trying to be self-righteous. I'm not trying to be above anybody. Brother Ron, I'm looking ahead to this day, to where I'm going to give account for the deeds done in my body, that I'll get a reward or lose reward, and I want to have something to give back to him. So many people just, they skim right through the scriptures. They don't see what's there. They're looking for spooks and ghosts and Ouija boards and everything else in that book. They're looking for supernatural things when they ought to be getting to the common sense things. One day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, and he is judge, and he is a rewarder of those that do right, and he is a punisher of those that don't. Amen. But now that's not going to fill up a coliseum talking like that. That's not going to get you big old offerings talking like that. It ain't going to get you a great following on Twitter or Facebook. I got a legal limit on Facebook, 5,000. I mean, can't get no more. I think half of them are mad at me right now. But the point being, God himself will judge his children. How'd that old chorus used to go? You can talk about me as you much as you please. I talk about you down on my knees. Amen. Now, look, he's going to reward his servants, his prophets, his saints, and every one of them that fear his name, small and great. And I preached the other week, the land's level, the ground's level at the foot of the cross, where the rich and the poor meet together. I'm going to tell on Jeffrey. I don't never get to tell on him much. I think I run two or three off today telling on him. I'm going to tell on him. He said the first time his wife, they found church on the internet, and they came anyway. And he said the first time they pulled up there, she wanted to show him the building. He thought, what kind of place is this? Well, that should inspire you to build up the building fund. What kind of place is this? Now, what do you mean? He said, well, just the neighborhood scared me. I said, you didn't even go in the bad part. This is the good part of the neighborhood. Wait till you get back yonder. Amen. That's where they shoot. Amen. Small and great, though. It doesn't matter what the neighborhood is. Where you came from, it's where you're going. Amen? It's where you're going. And listen, I've been all over this town. I've been in every kind of house you could imagine. And I have found some wonderful saints in every kind of house you can imagine. I sat in a black woman's house one day when we first started here, and I'll be honest with you, I felt sorry for her. I actually had to flick the cockroaches off of me while I talked to her. And she didn't even, she'd become so accustomed to it, you know, and I'd watch them, they was crawling up down the walls while I was talking. And I felt so sorry for her, but you know what, after I talked to her for a while, I didn't feel sorry for her no more. She was happy in the Lord. And she's got a mansion coming. Amen? And far as I read in the book, Brother Bobby, there ain't no cockroaches in heaven. They're all going to hell. Everyone, every cockroach is going to hell. Amen? Amen? You can't kill one. You can throw him in the microwave and turn it on, he won't die. And so I know they're going to hell because it says where their worm dies not. But I got news for you. God's going to judge us. And the book of Revelation is all about judgment. But then right in the middle of judgment, he throws a little thing about reward. I'm always glad there's always mercy as well as justice. Now, you ever heard anybody say this? Well, I just want what's coming to me. Boy, I don't. Boy, I don't want what's coming to me. It don't take but one sin to send you to hell. And I got way past that a long time ago. Amen? I don't want what I deserve. I do not. I remember Preacher Falkenberry used to come witness to me. See, he'd say, son, won't you get saved? I said, preacher, when I quit this and I quit, and I'd give him a long list of things I need to quit. And he'd say, well, you know what, son? Even if you quit every one of those, and you can't. But even if you never sinned again, and you can't. But even if you never sinned again your whole life, who's going to pay for what you've already done? Oh, man, that hit me like a brick upside the head. I never thought about that. Who's going to pay for what I've already done? So right here in the middle of judgment, he throws some grace. And I want you to know there's always grace as well as justice. Because God's got to be just. He can't change his rules for you or me or anybody else. But in the middle of that just, he can also throw some grace, undeserved love, to where you will turn to him. And I'm glad he tells it right here. half the world is dead, folks. From what we just read, how many people live in the world now? 6-7 billion? 3.5 billion people have died up to this point, if it happened today. The rivers have been destroyed. Half the ocean is dead. Stars have fallen out of the sky. Meteorites. Locusts are roaming about with stings locusts with stings like scorpions. People are running around cutting their throat, stabbing themselves, trying to die, and they can't die. The Antichrist is building up a big old giant army over there getting ready to invade Israel, and he keeps blaming everything on the Jews. It's the Jews' fault. It's the Jews' fault. And the world's going to hell in a handbasket, and God's judging the world. Right in the middle of judging the world, he said, but he's coming to reward those prophets and saints and those that seek him. I'm not going to finish this, but I'll tell you this. Jesus is coming. The temple is going to be open. There's going to be rewarding. There's going to be judging. There's going to be praising Jesus Christ for who he is. In verse 17, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come. There's going to be praising in the midst of every bit of this. In heaven. Not down here. And I tell people all the time, if you ain't ready to go, you better get ready quick. I mean, what was that song that you sing, Brother Bobby? Any day now. Just any day now. He could come just any day now. I wish he'd come tonight. I know some people need to be saved. I got some loved ones who need to be saved. But you know what? That's between them and God. I wish he'd come tonight. Brother Ron ain't the best Christian in town, not even in this room, but I tell you what, I wish he'd come tonight. I am hastening and looking forward to the day of the Lord. It does not scare me. It excites me. Reading this stuff, when I was lost, I'd read this stuff and I'd have nightmares. I don't have nightmares about it anymore. Folks, we better get busy. It's not just about worshiping Him. It's about judgment and mercy and grace and justice and punishment. Are you ready? I believe everybody in this room is probably ready. But do you know anybody that's not? Wilt not eat, wilt not sleep, wilt not work, wilt not play without thinking about those people. And without doing something, saying something. Now I know you can't aggravate people but to a certain extent, but you know what? It's worth aggravating somebody over. I told the devil after I got saved, I said, "Devil, you ain't having my youngins. You ain't having my youngins. They're going to be saved, and I'm not letting you have my youngins. I'll fight, I'll fuss, I'll claw, I'll do whatever I got to do to keep my kids out of hell. You ain't having my youngins." And we'll be like that about everybody we love. Amen. Let's stand. Come on, Brother Jeff.